Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, friends. Patrick Conley, happy to be with you again. And it is Pledge Week. I hope you all have been listening and then giving throughout the week this week to Relevant Radio. Once again, just want to encourage you, as you support Relevant Radio, of course, it supports all the great network programs that you've come to know and love, but it also helps support getting the Rediscover Hour out there every, about three times a week. We're on Friday evenings at 9, we're on Saturdays at 12:30, and we're on Sunday afternoons at 2, right here on Relevant Radio, 1330 a.m., and you can always, of course, find our archives by going to archspm.org and searching for Rediscover Hour, and you will find a whole listing of many, well, I would say all of our most recent shows anyway, that they're there if you'd like to refer them. Just great, great, great things that you can do and partake in. Anyway, please do consider a gift to Relevant Radio. We're reaching out and responding this week, and the phone number you can call is 877-291-0123. But you know what? I'm really a fan of the online stuff, right? I don't know. It just seems to make things quicker and easier. Maybe that's not for you, and that's fine, but you can always go to relevantradio.com, and you can donate right there at relevantradio.com, and you can also use the Relevant Radio app there on your smartphone or on your tablet. You can donate that way as well. Really quick and easy way to give. And it's a way, it's not that giving is something to be overlooked or giving that something is small. Actually, of course, we at Relevant Radio know that we survive on the generosity of donors. And giving is, well, it's a liturgical act. It's part of our worship of God. And it's also a way of continuing on in the new evangelization. Going to have a little bit more to say about that a little bit later in the program. But thought, first of all, I wanted to give a little bit of an update about what's coming up this coming weekend, of course, as we are heading into the 21st Sunday of Ordinary Time. But we do have on Saturday, we're celebrating the Queenship of Mary, appropriately positioned by Holy Mother Church right there on the octave day of the Assumption. We have the Queenship of Mary, and so we are celebrating her queenship, coronation as Queen of Heaven and Earth, as we pray in the Most Holy Rosary, and as we continue to reflect on how we as human beings share in all that is given to Jesus from His loving Father, all that is given to the Son from His loving Father. Again, just rather astounding that we as mere creatures, as mere mortals, as human beings, yes, created in the image and likeness of God, can indeed and do. We're invited to share in all the wonders of the divine nature, as well as the divine, the divine privileges as well. One of those, last week we talked about it being raised to eternal life, to live eternally with the Father, in communion with the Father. This week, maybe it's a little bit more about reigning, because we do talk about the queenship of Mary. Mary not only is assumed body and soul into heaven, but she's also reigning with her Son as Queen of Heaven and Earth. But we also see in our Sunday Gospel where Jesus is basically setting down the foundation stone of Peter. Jesus says to Peter, well, of course, this is probably a very familiar account from Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus asks all the disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And Peter especially says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him in reply, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. So I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. And he goes on to give Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven, which, of course, we're very familiar. Anytime we see a depiction of a saint with a set of keys, you can bet your bottom dollar that that's Saint Peter, right? the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth should be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. Well, there's something of the notion of reigning in that, that if you have the keys to a place, you're basically the lord of the manor, as it were. So you are overseeing the place. You have the responsibility and the duty of that, not just the privileges that come with rank, but also the responsibility and duty. And that's one of the things that I do believe our Heavenly Father invites us into as well. Of course, we don't reign on our own. We share in Christ's reign, and that's a very scriptural understanding. And even when we're baptized, of course, we're baptized in those threefold characters of priest, prophet, and king. And we have a sense of ruling over creation, and ruling in the sense that we share in Christ's reign over creation. And we would continue that reign and enjoy it to the full when one day, please God, we are united with him in the halls of heaven and we reign with him. And so that's what I think is going on this weekend. It's a nice little end cap, inclusio, as we had from last week. The Assumption of Mary, talking about our sharing in Christ's eternal life, in his immortal life. But also, and now we're sharing in his reign as well. So wonderful, wonderful bookends to a great celebration of our sharing in everything that Christ has come to give. All right, that's enough for me. Here's what's coming up on the show today. We've got Dr. John Boyle and Dr. Erica Kidd from Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas going to talk a little bit about, well, Catholic Studies in general, but also about what Catholic Studies is thinking about in terms of, the whole reopening in the time of pandemic and what's going on there. As I mentioned before, we'll reflect, Paul and I might reflect a little bit about what's going on with Relevant Radio in the Twin Cities, especially as it is Pledge Week. And then a little bit later on in the program, we're going to have Dr. Michael Naughton, also from Catholic Studies, but he has recently written a new book titled Getting Work Right, Labor and Leisure in a Fragmented World. We're going to hear all sorts of insights from him as well. That's what we've got coming up on the show today. Thanks for tuning in. Please join me as we dedicate the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My first guest today, guests are Dr. John Boyle, who's a professor in Catholic Studies and Theology at the University of St. Thomas. He's the director of the Master of Arts in Catholic Studies program, and he's also the manager of the Rome program with the University of St. Thomas, in addition to being a number of other things, including the associate editor of Logos, a journal of Catholic thought and culture. And Dr. Boyle, hello to you. Welcome back to the program.
Patrick, great to be with you.
Thank you.
I have to begin with a correction. Actually, Dr. Okay. Kidd is now the director of the graduate program.
Okay, so well, that's all right. We've got her, too.
Exactly. So you've got the whole thing. I'm now the chair.
So, okay, chair but, and
great
director.
Great to be with you again.
Thank you, Dr. Boyle. Yes, well, Dr. Kidd, yes, associate professor of Catholic Studies, and, I have that right here in my notes, too, if I'd only paid attention, right? Director of the graduate program of Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. And a convert to Catholicism. Dr. Kidd, good to have you back as well.
Thanks so much, Patrick. Good to be here.
No, thank you. Thank you both for joining us. And we have a lot of love and respect for Catholic Studies going on here at the Rediscover Hour. So why don't you give just our listeners just a reminder of basically what Catholic Studies is. Dr. Boyle, can I pitch that one at you?
You sure can, Patrick. Happy to do that. Catholic Studies, what a beautiful thing. The heart of it, we sometimes describe it this way, we study the impact of the Incarnation on human thought and culture. That means we're deeply interdisciplinary because, well, it was your opening remarks about Christ reigning. There is no aspect of human thought and culture that is not impacted by the Incarnation. And our hope is to help, our goal is to help students think in an integrated kind of way so they can unite all their studies, whatever they are, the obvious ones, philosophy, theology, but maybe some of the less obvious ones, business, science. We've got a whole bunch of Catholic Studies, neuroscience, double majors at the moment. Whatever it is that they can take their faith and integrate it intellectually in their lives. That's the heart of the mission of Catholic Studies. And one of the ways that's important for us to do this is not just in the classroom, but also through our community life, and having your students together here at St. Thomas. There's the heart of it. Dr. Kidd might have more to say about the graduate piece of it.
Yeah, I was just going to ask. So, yeah, Dr. Kidd, since, yes, we have you as the director of the graduate program, what does the graduate program specifically focus in on?
Yeah, so we certainly share that focus on the impact of the incarnation on human thought and culture. We're trying to explore that. But it's a little bit of a different context because, of course, our students are a little bit older. And we have a good number of students who are working professionals. And so they are interested in doing a deep dive into the tradition and really coming to understand that tradition, coming to understand the wisdom of that tradition, and then also coming to understand how that tradition can shape how they live right now, whether that be professionally, personally, in terms of their spiritual life, of course. So there's a little bit of a different focus just because of the nature of the students who are involved in that program.
Hmm. Yeah, that would make sense as well, of course. All right, so we're coming up on here back to school time. So I am just curious, how does this year's return to Catholic studies, how does it look different than previous years? Dr. Boyle?
Sure. The good news is St. Thomas is we're going to be in person, and for the undergraduate program, all of our classes are going to be in person. With obvious option for students who, for whatever reason, are unable to come to class, we'll make sure that they can be part of that class. Part of that building of the community, the ability to just be with your fellow students, to have that personal access to the faculty members, we're going to be doing that here in Catholic Studies. Now, obviously, there's going to be some limitations. We'll have social distancing in the classrooms at St. Thomas. We will be in face masks in the classrooms at St. Thomas because our goal is to make it all the way to Christmas and not be shut down. It turns out we discovered last spring on the undergraduate level we can make that pivot. We can do the distance thing when we have to. I think it went very well for our department. At the same time, I think it went really well because we have such a strong tradition here of community that the students still were able to live it and feel it even though they were now home. So our goal, especially with our incoming students, so we've got, as you know, Patrick, we have floors in the dorms that are dedicated to Catholic studies to students who are interested in that or interested in Catholic tradition. Those floors are up and running this fall. We've got Catholic studies houses for upperclassmen. Those are up and running. Our big social events are not going to happen. Instead, they're going to be small social events. We'll just have more of them.
Okay.
Because again, the real purpose here is not just to help students think in that deep way, but then be able to share their thoughts with other students. And I think one of the most important things to have access to the faculty. So Sitzman Hall, the home of Catholic Studies, it will be open. As I think you know, we have our own chapel, the Blessed Sacrament, is there, and when Sitzman Hall opens, the chapel will be available for prayer. We won't have Mass here in the fall because we're too small, and our numbers are too big we just pack students in there. Well, we're not going to be able to pack students into anywhere to keep the Minnesota Department of Health happy and our students healthy. So our Masses with our Catholic Studies faculty priests, Father Martin and Martin Schlug and Father Bryce Evans, those will be in the main chapel where we can have social distancing. But our chapel will nonetheless be open with our Lord there, so students can come and pray, which is a pretty frequent event there as students just have some quiet time in prayer in front of the Blessed Sacrament.
Sure.
So in many ways, we're going to be here. We're going to be doing our thing. We're just going to have to be a little more cautious and live in our masks. But the goal is, for all the students who can be here, we're going to be here in our classes. We're going to be here in our offices. We'll have those opportunities for those conversations. And the students have that opportunity to be together. You know, one of the things that's so important for Catholic Studies over the years has been the student community, which help each other so much in their lives of virtue and growth in faith. Part of it's obviously intellectual. That's the classroom. But part of it is friendship. So it's really important to us to see that those friendships continue, and we do all we can to foster them in our current students and introduce our incoming students into that life. So I'm hopeful that things will go well, that we will not see. I'm with Pope Francis on this. I'm praying for an end of this thing as fast as possible so that we won't be looking at a university shutdown here in Minnesota, and our students will have a real opportunity to grow in their faith and grow in their lives of holiness and closer to our Lord.
Well, I think that's a hopeful outlook, and I'm grateful for that, Dr. Boyle. Thanks for sharing that with us. Dr. Kidd, I'm kind of wondering, too, in my experience, at least a foundational part of the academic endeavor in the graduate realm relied, it seemed like, even more so. And I know the community at Catholic Studies, even the undergraduate level, is pretty tight-knit, and you really play off of that very well. But even in the graduate realm, things like seminars and discussions and that sort of thing is especially important. It's pivotal as well. Any special considerations for that, considering all the social distancing guidelines and masks and that sort of thing? Any ways that you're creatively or innovatively thinking about having more of these types of discussions?
Yes, that's a great question, Patrick. So, you know, at the graduate level, we were already really well positioned to begin to respond to the way that COVID is influencing new learning paradigms. We had been thinking about this for a number of years because we launched our online classes to complement our in-person program back in 2018. And we had a long conversations, did a lot of research, and talked a lot about what would it look to take Catholic Studies graduate courses online, precisely because of the thing that you mentioned, that seminar-style conversations are at the heart of what we do. You know, we're doing close readings of texts, we're talking about interesting figures, philosophers, theologians, but we're talking about the impact that they're having on students' lives and what students are understanding and taking from the text. So it's not just a one-way, it's not just the professor lecturing, it's a conversation. Right. And so from the very beginning, our online graduate classes were designed to capture a good part of that seminar-style conversation. So just briefly, the way those online classes work is we record some lecture videos ahead of time. Their professors in their offices, so you can peek over their shoulders and see what's on their bookshelves. And then to go alongside that, we have some online conversations in terms of message boards, but then also some Zoom sessions made flexible for people's schedules so that we can, you know, once everyone has read the text, has written some about it, has thought about it, has listened to the lecture videos, we can come together and have some of those conversations. And occasionally, sometimes students in the in-person, or rather in the online classes, will get together if they are in a local area and a few people are taking the class together. They'll get together and have some in-person conversations. So, you know, what we're trying to do for our students is make options available. You know, actually, much like St. John Henry Newman did with the University of Ireland, he had a university system and a college system, and then he also had some evening classes available for people who weren't able to be in residence and live the life fully with those other students. But he felt like it was really important for people to be getting that liberal education, and we feel that as well. So we've been working in lots of different ways to make that possible. I think it's sort of to go along with all this, it's really important to note lots of people are dissatisfied or have been dissatisfied with some of the distance learning that they maybe got at the, you know, I'm thinking of young children and things who are put on Zoom for hours a day.
Right, yeah.
And I think it's really important to note there's a huge difference between a quick pivot to distance learning and really well-developed online learning. And so even when we had to pivot to distance learning last semester, we just knew so much about, I mean, Dr. Boyle's right, we had the community there that was already supporting the transition, but we also knew a lot about high-quality online education, and so we've been able to put that in place and have that supporting even the distance education that we've had to do. So you know, I think these days the question is no longer can there be high quality education in digital space, but how do we do it well? In fact, one of my colleagues even wrote an essay about this. I think it's called "Is Online University Education Possible?" Dave Deville, the Imaginative Conservative.
Sure.
But we've been thinking a lot about how to do it, and I think we're in a really good position. And then along with that, we're continuing to have small events, like Dr. Boyle said. Last semester, we took our poetry and port evening online. And it was at a time in lockdown where people were just really hungry for human contact. So we got together, everyone grabbed some port or other kinds of wine and brought their favorite poem. And we just shared them over Zoom for 45 minutes and had a little bit of a conversation that way.
What a great idea. I assume you haven't patented that idea, so anybody is welcome to it, because I think I'm going to have my first poetry and port evening here, maybe tonight even, I don't know.
Absolutely. It's a great time. So, yeah,
it sounds wonderful.
Lots of supporting activities along the way.
Yeah, well, it sounds great, and I'm so glad that that you've exerted the effort to make it so not just workable, but it sounds like also you've got some real strengths flowing there. Dr. Boyle, I wanted to ask you, have you noticed any apprehension or anxiety among students or perhaps their parents or any of your faculty or staff there at Catholic Studies about returning to in-person classes?
In terms of faculty and staff, we're just eager to have our students back. We're going to be careful. What's interesting with the students, I've heard nothing yet from students in terms of any of our Kelly Studies students petitioning not to be coming back.
That's good.
Now, it doesn't mean that some might not. What really struck me, Patrick, and I think was, in a way, was quite beautiful, for the generation that for whom so much of their life is on the smartphone and mm-hmm. is in social media space, and who will tell me how significant it is to their lives, they all discovered, I think, very dramatically last spring, that man by nature is a social animal, as Aristotle would say, and that means we need to be together. And they really missed each other. And that being able to text and Zoom and whatever other things they have don't replace the in-person friendship. And I think they are just so eager to be back here. The ones I talked to, I've talked to a number of them over the summer, and I think all of the faculty reached out over the summer to students to make ourselves available to talk, at least by Zoom. Mm-hmm. And I think what I can tell, they're ready to be here. And from some of the parents I've talked to, the parents are really ready to have them out of their house and back in school.
Yeah, I can understand that as well. That's the sentiment, I think, even for the very young to the very old parents and students that are out there. Yep. Yeah, let's get them back in school. Yeah. And I think especially what you said there, Dr. Boyle, about a man being a social animal, and that there's obviously clearly some ramifications to that when we're not able to be in the social environment. So just a couple closing questions for you both. Dr. Kidd, I know that you are a student and lover of St. Augustine. Are you working on anything in specific right now as we're coming up on St. Augustine's feast day?
Well, I am. I'm getting ready to teach my online seminar on Augustine.
Right, wonderful.
For this fall. So certainly working on that. And then also a few shorter articles on Augustine and language, why we talk to each other.
Nice. Okay, very good. And then, Dr. Boyle, I'll give you the promo question. I'm sure that people are interested in knowing more about Catholic Studies, so where can they go to find you?
Yes. They can go to the University of St. Thomas website. Just search for Catholic Studies. They can find about us. And what I would say, anybody who has any questions about Catholic Studies should feel free to contact me directly. All my contact information is on the University of St. Thomas website. One last promo piece. You asked Dr. Kidd about Augustine, but I couldn't help but thinking, given introductory comments about Our Lady and her feast coming up, Dr. Kidd will be introducing a new course on Mary next summer.
Ooh, fantastic.
So that might be in the graduate program, and that might be of of interest to some of your listeners.
You know what? I do. I said two more questions, but I have one more. Dr. Kidd, I'll fire this one at you. So just about the graduate program, what's required in terms of an undergraduate degree in order to go ahead for graduate studies in Catholic studies?
Yeah, so applicants need to have a completed undergraduate degree, but it can be in any discipline. So there's no expectation that students will come in with a background in philosophy, theology. We've got, you know, stay-at-home parents. We've got veterinarians, lawyers, people from all different backgrounds.
Wonderful. All right. Well, Dr. John Boyle, Dr. Erica Kidd, you have done us proud here in Catholic Studies. I'm grateful that you're going to continue to do this work as the Lord guides you through this reopening and coming back to school and that sort of thing. So God bless you both in your continued work. Thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome, Patrick. Great to be with you as always.
All right. Well, what a great update! It's so refreshing to hear that, you know, things are moving forward even in spite of the circumstances that we find ourselves in, and the Lord will always see us through as we continue to see time after time after time. And part of understanding that, part of recognizing that, is reaching out with that good news to others. Let me just encourage people once again to reach out and respond. Help support the ministry of Relevant Radio by going to relevantradio.com, by going on the Relevant Radio app, or giving us a call with your donation, 877-291-0123. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, Paul and I are going to talk a little bit more about Relevant Radio, specifically in the Twin Cities and its role here. So stay with us. Rediscover.
Are you near retirement? Don't let taxes and fees chip away at your retirement savings. Those little charges add up quickly and eat away at your hard-earned nest egg. That's the last thing you want. Take control. Build lasting retirement security with an annuity from Catholic United Financial. We offer a safe, secure place to preserve your money with a guaranteed rate of return. And no annual fees, no transfer fees, no account service fees, no hidden fees, none. Nada. We guarantee a competitive interest rate no matter what the market's doing. Maximize your savings. Transfer funds to a new Catholic United Bonus Plan annuity and get a first-year bonus interest rate. Honor your faith with Catholic United. Over 140 years of people helping people. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safemoney. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safemoney. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life. And you come alive.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again as we are, well, we are keeping up to date, as always, with the things that God is doing in our midst here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. And I just wanted to tell you all a story about a post that I saw in my Facebook newsfeed. A friend of mine, both a real-life friend as well as a Facebook friend, she posted that she was in Mass the other day and she noticed a young man sitting across from her. And he was quite clearly, as we can sometimes tell, not Catholic, or at least hadn't been in church for a long, long time, unfamiliar with the responses and when to do what and that sort of thing. And her response was, and this is what was so capturing to me, is that she took that opportunity to pray. Her instinctual response, well, instinctual, let me put it this way, her sacramental grace response, because I know that this young woman actually received confirmation not all that long ago, and I do believe these are those confirmation virtues and graces flowing.
And baptismal responsibilities.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly. Thank you, Paul. She prayed for him. That was her first kind of gut response, was to pray for him and say, Lord, this young man has come here to meet you. So please, you know, please respond to his taking that first step to come and you know, can you, will you interact with him, draw him deeper into relationship? And I just got to reflecting on that, and that if every Catholic, can you imagine if every Catholic across the Archdiocese would, number one, be on the lookout for the newcomer, the unfamiliar face, the person that they don't recognize in Mass. or who may not be getting it, who may not understand what's going on in Mass. And then number two, instead of, and I'm pointing the fingers right back at myself in this one, instead of jumping to judgment about this person, recognize that, you know what, this person showed up and they are here and they are making themselves available, even if in the smallest way, they're making themselves available to God, and God can and will respond. So what if we
would
pray?
See the new springtime in the church that John Paul II predicted?
I think you're right. I think you're right. And I think that that is something that we need to understand, that it is extraordinarily profound, but it is not complicated. It's not at all. It's not hard. It's not difficult. Just a few things just to keep us going. And I guess what stirred me from there, Paul, was that I was thinking more about, you know what, and maybe the reason this guy was in Mass, or maybe the way that God will continue to meet him after leaving this Mass, was Relevant Radio.
It might have been. Just never know. We have met a ton of new listeners over the course of this pandemic. A lot of people have been scanning their radio dial and finding us for the first time. We're so grateful for that, and we welcome everybody aboard, and it's just so wonderful to have you here.
Yeah, absolutely it is, and hence the Pledge Week theme this week has been Reach Out and Respond. It is a way of reaching out. People do respond it's a non-invasive, it's a very kind of safe way to explore God, is to turn on your radio.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And, or to listen on the app.
Yeah. Very non-threatening.
Very non-threatening. Yeah. So Paul, I'm just curious, since I know that you and I have talked a lot off the air about, your own experience with Relevant Radio in the Twin Cities. What can you tell us about Relevant Radio in the Twin Cities? I know we haven't always been there out at Golden Valley. And when did you first come on Relevant Radio?
Well, I first came on board in 2003. And let me back up just a touch. It was in early 2003 that some Catholic businessmen in Green Bay, Wisconsin, got together and said, we think there should be more Catholic radio. And so they started with one station in Green Bay, and that quickly grew to about six or eight, including the Twin Cities. We originally, and when I came on board in 2003, we had two signals, one in the western Twin Cities and one in the east. Unfortunately, neither one penetrated either downtown very well. In 2004, we were able to go on 1330 AM and now cover the whole Twin Cities.
Yeah.
Relevant Radio has since grown by leaps and bounds. About 3 years ago, we had the opportunity to merge with Immaculate Heart Radio, and we're now on 168 stations across the country.
Imagine
that's
that.
Between the owned and operated ones and the affiliate stations that carry our programming.
Mm-hmm.
And we're reaching a potential 220 million souls, and that's pretty awesome.
That is really awesome. I mean, that's the potential that's out there. But even the smallest things, whether I swear that the bumper stickers, they initially, I will admit, they caught me as a little cheesy, but then I started seeing them around, and I started seeing all these other places that people are, not just at church, not just at the Relevant Radio studios or anything like that, but I just driving around, I'd see, oh, there's another Catholic.
Yeah.
Another Relevant Radio listener.
And you don't have to be Catholic to listen to Relevant Radio.
I've run into
a lot of people who are not Catholic but just love Relevant Radio.
Yeah.
So, I have to admit, it can get you into trouble. I love to hear the quote from Archbishop Sheen. Very few people reject the Catholic Church for what she really is. Most reject her for what they erroneously think she is.
Mm-hmm.
And Relevant Radio is where you're going to find Catholic radio that is faithful to the magisterium, united to the bishops, and gives you the good, the true, and the beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And I you can't ask for much more than that out of a Catholic radio station.
I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that the Twin Cities work has been one of the, like you said, it was early, early on, but it was also, it's been one of the great markets, if you will, the Twin Cities for Relevant Radio, precisely because the Lord is active in our midst.
He's
out there. He's doing stuff around.
And he's always surprising us.
He is. He is. And that's an important thing. Well, Paul, I know you need to go out and get our next guest all lined up and ready to go.
Indeed.
But I thank you for just reflecting with me for a couple minutes on
Happy
the ministry.
Happy to be
of
with
Radio.
You.
Yeah, thank you. We'll check in with you again here at the end of the show for our usual calendar items. So, folks, let me just say one more time that, of course, your support of Relevant Radio is support that does keep the network on the air, yes, but it also keeps local programming like the Rediscover Hour, like Minnesota Catholic Conference's show that's on, like those shows that are so important to the local church, which is, in Catholic ecclesiology, it is an expression of the Church Universal. It is our place of plugging into the Church Universal. So the church here in the Archdiocese of the Twin Cities, it really is it's our place of interaction with, even in time of pandemic, it is our place of interaction with the Church Universal. And it's so important, just as Dr. Boyle was just saying, how we as social animals, we are in need of that relationship. We're created in the image and likeness of a relational God, and we need that. And so, you know, again, I recognize not everybody is in a position of being able to give, but if you are, and if you give it some prayer and say, all right, well, I'm willing to give, then go on to relevantradio.com and just click the donate button. Very easy to do so there. Open up your Relevant Radio app, which, by the way, I don't want to sound like a broken record with all the other show hosts here, but I first downloaded the Relevant Radio app long ago. And you know, I think it had just fairly recently come out, and it was all right. Well, I have to admit that I did most of my listening then either on the car radio or online. I didn't use it much for online listening. Then I went back, probably about, I don't know, a few months ago, I went back and I checked it out again. Wow. It's amazing the things that you can listen to on the Relevant Radio app, but not just that, all sorts of prayer resources that you can call up, a number of different rosaries anytime you'd like to. You can have the Divine Mercy Chaplet, of course, just a wonderful, wonderful things that you can do there. And you can also support Relevant Radio there on the app as well. Of course, the phone is available for taking donations as well. That number, once more, is 877-291-0123, 877-291-0123. And thank you. Thank you for those who are listening. Thank you for your support of Relevant Radio. It is really, it is an expression of the family of God here in the Twin Cities. So thank you for doing that. All right, we're going to head into our next break. But when we come back, we've got Dr. Michael Naughton with us. He's going to be talking about his new book, Getting Work Right, Labor and Leisure in a Fragmented World. Stay with us.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Every day, I learn something new, and I'm filled with so much joy. And after about 6 months, I went to confession and started going to Mass again and receiving the Eucharist. If it weren't for you and what you do, I'd still be lost out there.
We hear from so many who may have wandered away from the church, wandered away from the sacraments, and there's something about what they hear on Relevant Radio, the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, bringing them back to church.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Please consider making a donation today. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society today at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Foreign sky and distant city.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cami Berthiaume, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining us now is Dr. Michael Naughton, the director of the Center of Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. Seems like we're waxing on a theme here. And he is a full professor in the Department of Catholic Studies, here to talk about his new book, Getting Work Right, Labor and Leisure in a Fragmented World. Dr. Naughton, welcome back to the program.
Well, Patrick, always good to be with you.
It's great to have you with us. Thank you so much. And we just spoke with Dr. Boyle and Dr. Kidd about Catholic studies returning to school here. Just wondering how you're feeling about getting back in action here in just a little short while.
Well, I'm very enthusiastic. I mean, I miss these students. I was with them, and actually, I was in Rome last February when this whole thing hit. And so I had to bring all the students back in early March. So we went from a Rome semester in Catholic studies to basically online. And that's always a bit disappointing. But again, it's something we had to do, and I'm looking forward to getting them back. And obviously, we want to keep them safe, but we also want to create a community and really help them learn the way they should be doing so.
Absolutely. Well, I'm thankful for your dedication to that. Well, let's talk a little bit about this book. First of all, just give us the overview. What is Getting Work Right all about?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. The title of the book came from some talks that I've given, and the thesis is, in order for us to get work right, we have to get leisure right, right? And so so the book, in many respects, while it is a lot about work, it's also about the question of leisure. And the reason why is that it goes back to Genesis, right? We're made to both work and we're made to rest. and we're meant to put those two together in a way that makes up an integral life, a whole life. And often we compartmentalize the two, we divide the two. And then when we do that, we often kind of get mucked up, we get kind of confused, we often have these blind spots, both in terms of our work, in terms of how we go to work, and also how we spend our leisure time or our rest time. And it's the relationship between those two that the book is attempting to really kind of drive a connection with.
Mm-hmm. And I think I love the connection back with Genesis that you make there. And there's something about that actually contributes to our own understanding of as you say, properly ordering things, both leisure and work, but also our own humility and dependence upon God, does it not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we're living in a world right now that has somewhat become unhinged in a lot of different ways. And particularly at the university, we always talk about everything being socially constructed, you know, that we're always doing the construction, and there's nothing received. There's no created reality in which we're beholden to. Mm-hmm. And that's really, you know, both John Paul II, as well as Benedict, as well as Francis, they're mindful of this idea that we're born into a created order. And that is something that we need to receive. And that's why leisure is so important. Leisure, the book was very influenced by a philosopher, German philosopher, Catholic German philosopher, Joseph Pieper, who wrote a book called Leisure, the Basis of Culture.
Mm-hmm.
And he defines leisure as not as golf, do whatever you want to do or not just kind of escape life. But he defines it as the, you know, habit of mind to, or it's the condition of the mind to receive the reality of the world, right? There's something in the soul that gives us this capacity to receive things. And Benedict has this great line. He says, the most profound moments of our lives is not so much what we've achieved, but it's what we've accepted or what we've received. And that's why the contemplative life, the prayer life, the liturgical life, all those things are those moments where we predispose ourselves to receive things that we simply don't have, that it gives us the capacity to then give of our lives,
right,
to work, right, to have the right relationships that we need to have. So it's not just about receiving, it's about a receptivity of mind to basically give us the ability to act and to give rightly.
Sure, sure. As is often said, you can't give what you don't have.
Well, but, yeah, it's a Latin phrase, nemo dat quod non habet, right? You cannot give what you don't have.
Right.
And I think that's a key phrase in the book, Patrick, because it's really about what happens is that when if it's only about us doing things, and we Americans, and it's the great strength of Americans, right? We're very entrepreneurial. We're very innovative. We're very creative. We're about getting things done. And there's been a lot of great benefits that's occurred there. But what happens is if we're only in that mode, we exhaust ourselves and we deplete ourselves. And thus what happens is we start getting these tapes going on in our heads that it's about, well, why don't people appreciate what I do, right? Why am I giving more than what they're doing, right? Why do I, and we start getting a bit resentful, we start getting a little cynical, and it's all subtle, it doesn't happen all at once, but that's what happens is when you are not attentive to the capacity to receive for leisure, for prayer, for the liturgy, for the sacraments, all those things that give us the capacity to receive rightly.
So let's talk a little bit about leisure and what good habits of leisure are and what maybe not so constructive or receptive habits of leisure are. Because I know that, in our society, no, let me just get down to brass tacks. In my own life, when I'm...
There you go, Patrick.
Yeah, I know. Let's be honest, shall we? That when I'm feeling like I just need some leisure, I'm usually looking at kind of something that equates to vegging out. Just kind of doing some mindless television watching or computer game playing or something like that. But I have a hunch that that's not the best way of going about true leisure.
It's interesting. So I teach a course in Catholic studies here on faith and work. I get a lot of business students in my course. And it's interesting. We talk about work and we talk about leisure. It's actually the leisure question that the students actually really come alive in, because what I'll often ask them, I say, well, what do you do for your leisure? Give me the concreteness, right? It's not about out there in society. It's about me. What do I do?
Right.
Let me do an audit, right? Let me take a real audit here. And you get the typical responses, and it's in general, it's not always the case, but in general, the guys go for the video games, right? And the gals go for often, Netflix and shows and things of that sort. And so I'll often ask, well, how do you feel after you've had leisure? And that's a really interesting experience, right? I said, do you feel restful? No, not really. Often they feel a certain dis-ease. They often sometimes feel guilty. They often feel, and I said, well, that's interesting, but why do you keep doing it? And I was just talking to a guy just the other day about this. I often explained it as kind of the default system they're in. When you get a little free time, what do? You turn on the tube, right? You go to the screen. You go to your favorite site, whatever it might be. One guy I was talking to just the other day actually mentioned, his name is Ed Gross, thought, and I think he's right on this, he says, it's probably more about addiction, because we have this problem called dopamine, right? And there's often what people call internet anxiety disorder, right? When you don't get to that screen, you get this kind of nervousness. And so the question I often ask the students is, well, maybe there's a different kind of leisure. And your point that you started off with this question, what are the habits of leisure? And I would say the three main habits, right? It's the habit of silence. It's the habit of celebration. And it's the habit of fraternity. So each one, right? The habit of silence is also this habit about how do I turn off this emotional tapes that are going on in my head. Right, because they get me into a lot of trouble. I'm the unappreciated genius here at St. Thomas, right, Patrick? If they were just listening to me, and I got all these tapes going on in my head, and how do I shut it off, right? And the media is not going to help me shut it off, right? But it's only in that meditation, the contemplation, and the prayer, right? And then it's the habit of celebration, and this is why Sunday. Not only, we just not think about it as moments. We need to think about Sunday as a day of leisure. but not just 1 hour at Mass. And of course, we've just gone through this whole pandemic where we don't even have that. But the Lord's Day is a whole day. And now, how do we have a whole day of authentic leisure? And this is where we ought to become techno-sabbatarians, right? Turn off your devices, turn off your screens, right? And engage in a different kind of way. And then also, it's interesting, is we should also have the sense of fraternity. And this is an interesting point. When Jesus often gets in trouble with the Pharisees on the Sabbath, doing what? Healing.
Yeah.
Right? Right. Being attentive to those who are on the margins.
Yeah.
And there you go to it, not so much that I do something for somebody, but that I'm go there and that I am with them, right? That there's a beingness with them. It's not about me doing more things, but it's about me being with them. And those habits of silence, celebration, fraternity help us to say, okay, maybe I need to do a different kind of leisure. And that's also where questions of prayer, the question of the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, right? And also this idea of being with the poor, being with the marginalized, being with the lonely, you know, calling, relatives you don't usually talk to, all sorts of different things. So that's getting into a different kind of set of habits that's different than the habits that we often have in terms of amusements, which I think what you were eventually getting at. We're in an amusement culture, right? Mm-hmm. And that's our default system. And to be quite frank, it's probably our addiction.
Yeah.
And we have to face the question that maybe we have addictions that we're simply not facing.
Right. And it strikes me too how much these amusements are pretty much the antithesis of silence, celebration, and fraternity. There's usually lots of noise, both audio noise, but also, you know, just kind of activity or action going on, at least that we're viewing, even if we're not partaking in that directly. The celebration aspect is minimal, if not nil, in terms of truly to celebrating, to opening up anything that has to do with any sort of transcendence in life. And then fraternity, usually when I'm doing this, I'm sitting alone with my tablet on my lap or, you know, in front of the TV screen. That's kind of where I am. So it's kind of the antithesis.
Yeah. Well, you nailed it, Patrick. I think you're exactly right. And I think, you know, sometimes when I give about 20 talks a year going around different places, and my wife will say, "What are you going to talk about?" And I'll say, "Leisure." She goes, "What was that? Tell me that again. You know, let me tell you about your leisure." Right? So, all of a sudden, you know, none of us are speaking about this from the height of virtue.
Yeah.
But it's an attempt for us to try to follow in, right? It's an attempt for us to move in a different kind of way, and we're fighting the culture on it. You know, it's interesting. Etymologies are always interesting, and the etymology of amusement, muse. Mm-hmm. Muses are the goddesses of the liberal arts. They were meant to refresh us, to help us see a much larger reality. Denies it, and there's in Wiktionary, it has this definition: amusement, to stare stupidly at something.
Nice.
Right? Isn't that nice?
Sounds about
right. That's my wife's description of me watching television, right? I mean, this is, and so the question is, it's not for us to, this is not about judging. This is not about, you know, for us saying, it's about all of us trying to wake up a bit, right? That maybe the way we're spending, getting out of the default system, maybe for some of us, it really is, we have to face, you know, that we're just simply too connected to our devices, too connected to our screens. And how do I find a way to disconnect, to allow God's grace to operate and for me to hear God's word in a way that I haven't quite heard it already?
Mm. The book is titled Getting Work Right, Labor and Leisure in a Fragmented World by Dr. Michael Naughton, who's our guest today on the Rediscover Hour. Dr. Naughton, we've only got a couple seconds left, but just wanted to ask you, where can people find this new book of yours?
Yeah, they can get it right off the web, you know, Amazon, whatever they might have. It's pretty much all over, and it's pretty easy to get. So,
all right, wonderful. Well, Dr. Naughton, always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you for being on the show again, and God bless you in your continued service of Him.
And Patrick, God bless you. You're doing great work on Relevant Radio, and I'm a great fan of what you're doing. So thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, Paul and I have all sorts of wonderful things to share with you coming up around the area. Stay with us.
Rediscover. Hi, this is Matt Burke, former Minnesota Viking and Super Bowl champion here for Catholic United Financial. Did you know Catholic United Financial is now a $1 billion company? Not bad for starting over 140 years ago in a St. Paul church basement with $635 and change. They aren't the biggest, but they're absolutely rock solid when it comes to your finances. You don't get to $1 billion in assets by being anything less. They've sold life insurance from the start, when it was about people pooling their resources to help each other in times of need. They also provide ultra-safe and secure financial products, like annuities, which are a great complement to anyone's financial portfolio. And they now offer Medicare Supplement Health Insurance for those 65 and older. Maybe it's time you aligned your finances with your faith, like my family did, and join a $1 billion financial company you can trust. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org.
When you see love in the minor places, seek no more the heavenly sign.
When
you see lines, it will be.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. The Sunday obligation to attend Mass still dispensed, but if you're planning on attending Mass, bring your mask. Not a fan of the mask? Well, that's all right. Check out archspm.org/COVID-19 for an up-to-date list of outdoor and parking lot masses being offered around the Archdiocese, as well as masses online and on TV.
And don't forget, you can hear daily Mass and devotions here on Relevant Radio. Join us Monday through Friday for daily Mass at noon, Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 with Drew Mariani, Sunday Mass at 9 a.m. and noon.
And prayer during a pandemic can help keep us anchored, to keep us anchored to our Lord, our Lady, and our Church. Take a moment to pray each time a COVID-19 Anointing Corps priest is dispatched to give last rites. All you got to do is text ARCHSPM-ANOINTING to 55321. For more information and for online sign-up, visit archspm.org/COVID-19.
What's the difference between shame and guilt? Join Dr. Michael Bland for a virtual presentation on the difference between shame and guilt, with the hope of breaking the paralysis of toxic shame through compassion. This online presentation will be Monday, August 31st, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. For more information, go to archspm.org/events.
And just one more reminder to reach out and respond. Call now or go online now with your donation to Relevant Radio. You can go to relevantradio.com and give there. You can open up your Relevant Radio app on your smartphone or tablet and give there. Or you can give us a call, 877-291-0123.
And be sure to check out archspm.org/events for upcoming events around the Archdiocese. You can still sign up to receive local evangelization updates. Go to archspm.org/evangelization and enter your email address. It's easy.
It is easy. I've done it, and I appreciate getting those emails every week. Paul, thanks for your help today and your input.
It's what we do.
It is what we do. Yes, that's right. And yeah, and Paul, still, I should mention you too, Paul. You're still doing Daybreak, right?
Absolutely. Every morning at 4 a.m. Central, but you can also find it on the Relevant Radio app if that's too early for you. It's on every morning on the app, so check it out.
It is a little bit early, but yeah, it's a great way of doing morning prayer. So whether you listen to it live as it's airing or whether you go back and check it out on the app, I would encourage you to do so too. And thank you for your work with that, Paul.
Absolutely.
All right. What we got coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour? Well, we've got the president of St. Joseph's Business Guild, Roger Vasco. He's going to talk to us about that. Also, the new president of the Catholic School Center of Excellence, Brian Ragetz, is with us. And Catholic wedding photography duo Katesy and Ben Photography will share about the importance of creative art within our faith. Always good to have artists on to talk about art and the faith. That's what's coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour, folks. Thanks for tuning in this week. Stay safe, be healthy, and in the meantime, go to church or stay home and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday afternoon at 12:30, and Sunday afternoon at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio.
Rediscover.